Morning, members. Morning, Deputy Minister, Honorable Babela, Director General, and your team for DOC, and also Dr. Ngubane, the chairperson of the SABC, and the other board members, and your executive. And everyone who's here. We are about to start. We'll allow the introduction for those who are here because we've got quite other people which they are coming for the first time to appear before the committee in their capacity as board members. We'll give that opportunity for that introduction. How can I forget the National Treasurer, who's also here with us in terms of the business of the day, which we must deal with. But before, members, we go through the actual business of the day, the presentation, which is going to be given before us. There are a few issues which we need to run over. One issue is around the filling of two vacancies, which are going to occur in MDDA at the end of this year. We have received the matter, has been referred to the committee to start the necessary process to fill those vacancies. The second one is the issue of SABC. As we all know that one board member, Mr. Peter Harris, resigned as a board member of the SABC. The president has accepted the resignation. Now we must start the process of filling that vacancy also. We are trying from our side all what we can to push that at least the address should be out this weekend. For both entities, MDDA and the SABC. However, must indicate that it's only at the MDDA where we'll be appointing those who are appointing for the full term. When it comes to the SABC, I'm just reminding members that it will be for the remainder of the period so that there is no confusion around that particular appointment. It's only for the remainder of the period like the other board members who are already there. We run those processes. From our side, we wanted to give sufficient time for the adverts, at least 3 weeks or so, so that there can be sufficient time for the public to participate as required by both the legislation, that these processes must be driven by through public nominations. Now, all I want to engage the members at is that if they are agreeable, we will do the administration of the adverts and so on, hopefully allowing it to run. When we're doing our calculation, we can leave with a month to allow it to run a month. Then we start the shortlisting and the other process thereafter and make sure that we process it as early as we can. I hope that after we've dealt with that, we'll then later engage the Minister of Communications to also start to trigger the process of the three ICASA councillors, which will be leaving in June next year, so that we start some of those processes this year. Because June, if you look in terms of the calendar of Parliament, we might not have sufficient time if we want to run that process next year. But that will be a separate engagement with the Minister to deal with that particular process. I hope that members will be agreeable around the processes of the two entities, MDDA, two vacancies, SABC, filling the vacancy which has been left by the resignation of Mr. Peter Harris. Honorable Kilian.
Just clarity, Chairperson, if we said more or less a month, can we then say 30 September, which is a Friday? if, you know, if we really calculate when it will go out, it will probably be only at the end of the month.
It will go out this weekend. The comment section make it, they are saying it's possible that this weekend it could be out. So we'll just calculate the normal 4 weeks and then have what will be the deadline if it's agreeable.
Okay, we must just bear in mind that there is a public holiday on the 23rd. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments? Agree to. That was the first issue we'll dispose with. The second issue is that we have received a referral from the Speaker's office as a committee in relation to post office workers who are working in the cash mail center here in Cape Town. On that referral, those employees for post office, they've petitioned the speaker. They are claiming that for the past 15, 14 years, they've been casual under the labor brokerage. The speaker has referred the matter to the committee that we need to look into that matter and advise or find solution accordingly to that matter as raised by those employees. But in a process, because it's also including the issue of labor brokerage, where we it's deemed necessary, we can confer with the portfolio committee of labor. But the matters before us, I've tried to look in terms of the processes of parliament. How do you deal with that? There is no procedure or a process. As a committee, we must be able to come up with a process on how to engage in that particular matter. I'm just raising it for the committee so that members of the committee can note. I know that you might not be in a position now to determine the way forward, how do we proceed with that particular matter. The letter from the speaker and the list or the issues raised by the employee will be circulated to all the parties. We don't have to finalize it now. I'm just raising it, tabling it before the committee. On our coming meetings, then we'll be able to deal with those particular matter and so on. There are approximately 182 employees who have put their signature as they were referring the matter or petitioning the speaker. So it's a matter which we need to dispose of as a post office of those employees. The highest one in terms of the years of employment is 15 years under temporary, under labor brokerage, never been appointed full-time and so on. So it's a matter which members will must give thought into, and then as we meet next time, we are able to dispose of. Agreed, members. It will be circulated to all the members, the details of the letter from the speaker and the issues raised by the members. Honorable Ndamene.
Thanks, Chair. Whilst I agree with your proposal, but then I would then suggest that maybe the post office also must look into the correspondence, and when we meet as the committee, they must be able to tell us what is it that they plan to do or to explain why for 15 years people have been contracted or have been casual, so that we have a way forward. When we are dealing with it, we have the insight of what is really happening with the post office. Thanks, Chair.
Great. We'll forward it also to post office so that they start to engage on the matter, so that it becomes easy for us to dispose of it. Honorable Gagana.
In the same spirit that all of us would like to be temporary for 15 years, when you said Ministry of Labour, yes, but will they give us something in writing that advises how to remedy this? But I also think legally we could consult with the senior advocates in the department just to look at the legalities. But I think the spirit is that we recommend a solution to it, because it isn't fine. Not fine, not just for Post Office, but for the whole country. None of us would like to be temporary for 15 years.
Thank you, Honorable Gagan. The speaker in his letter requested us to confer with the Portfolio Committee on Labor because of the issue of labor brokerage. I think the committee is familiar with the issue. For the past 4 years or so, we've been raising this issue with Post Office that they must sort out this issue of temporal employees and so on. They've been saying they are sorting it out. It's just that it happened that now people have decided to formally take steps around that. But the committee understands it very well. It's a matter we've been saying time and time again to Post Office, sort out this matter. And they've been saying they are doing that. We'll hear when we forward it to them what will be their response and so on. But I think now it's time to find a solution on this matter once and for all and so on. But we'll engage on that matter at a time when we formally engage with Post Office in terms of finding solution and so on. Members, the last issue is around the issue of the local loop unbundling. Today the committee was supposed to get a progress report from DOC and the ICASA, the regulator. I've been on our engagement with the DOC and ICASA. It came apparent that today both the regulator and the department won't be ready to report back to us because of the process which they are engaging at in terms of finding a solution around this particular matter. The department has requested that we postpone the 5th Act to the 26th of August when the department come to appear before the committee and give us their first quarterly report. In your absence, I've agreed that if that is the case, they are not ready, we will have to postpone to that particular date. That's the matter which we must also process so that if you agree, then we get that report on the 26th of August. Agreed? Okay. Thanks, members. Now we will proceed to the business of today, of the day, which is the presentation by DOC, National Treasurer, and also SABC on the issue of the government guarantee. DOC will be the first one to start, but don't forget to introduce your team, to follow by SABC and then the National Treasurer. DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Thank you very much for the invitation. And also to thank the Deputy Minister that is taking time to be here and support the process. Also to thank the SABC board. I see they're here in numbers. I'm quite pleased. It shows that we are able to move forward. Just to introduce myself, I'm Rosie Sakesa, the DG of the Department of Communications. And I'm accompanied by my team, but I would like them to introduce themselves. Mm-hmm. Two of them, Chairperson, are also members of the Monitoring Committee team. And they've been part of the team since the inception of the government guarantee in 2009. So if you can introduce yourself.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister. My name is Sam Vilagazi, Acting DDG Finance and Enterprise Development. Chair, members of the monitoring team, with me is Mr. Sibongile Makopi, the Chief Director responsible for Shareholder Management Unit. And the colleagues from National Treasury, we have Avril Halstead, we've got Pearson Baboji, we've got Petrus Machi, and of course the colleagues from the SABC, represented by, I think, a member from the SABC is Mr. Justice Ndaba.
Morning, Honourable Members. I'm Willie Vukela, the Deputy Chief Director of Policy in the Ministry of Communications. Thank you so much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And also let me thank again Honourable Members for the invitation. I think in the main, our presentation is structured as follows. Just what we thought that we would do is to give members a sense of the background in terms of how we came about to have the government guarantee. And that background will also be followed by the conditions of the government guarantee in terms of what needed to be put in place. And those conditions were attached to a model which is referred to as the base case scenario, and reflect back in terms of the financial year 2011, how did the SABC perform versus the conditions that we put forward in terms of the government guarantee. And in the main, give a sense of how did Susan Saluba came into the picture and the report of Susan Saluba, and then get into the conclusions and recommendations. But I felt that because my colleague was also part of the monitoring team, that he would be able to assist us in leading the presentation.
DG, there is a request that you must just speak a little bit loud, and you've got 30 minutes, yeah, maximum.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in the main, what we thought that we would do, honourable members, is to give a sense of how did we come about to have the government guarantees, and also what were the conditions attached, and how did Susan Saluba come into the picture, and what was the report of the Susan Saluba, and give a sense of the performance of the SABC in terms of the 2011 financial year. And most important, the focus is going to be how did the SABC perform against the government guarantee, which is in the main the essence of why are we here and what are the recommendations or the conclusions that we are putting forward. But in a nutshell, Honourable Chairperson, I'll allow my colleague Sam Villagas just to take us through, but we'll be able to do the presentation in less than 30 minutes.
Thanks, DG. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. I think the DG has already outlined the structure of the presentation. So essentially what we're going to do is just to give a little bit of the historical background in terms of on the circumstances that led to the issuing of the guarantee and the performance of the SABC so far. And of course, also highlight a little bit the areas that still need attention going forward. On the background side, honourable members, the SABC experienced some financial difficulties at some point around 2008-2009, and of course that led to a situation whereby the corporation could not honor some of its commitments. And I think in the process, there was an effort or an initiative by the former minister to appoint a task team to really look into the challenges at the SABC. And I think the task team came up with a number of issues that led to the collapse of systems and also the financial challenges of the SABC. The task team identified a number of areas ranging from governance issues, financial mismanagement, escalating costs, declining revenues, and so on. And of course, the task team made some recommendations at that time. And I think linked to that as well, there was a challenge around governance, which led to a total collapse of the governance structures, board members resigning and so on. And I think it was then at that time that the interim board came in place, which then had to turn to the shareholder for assistance. And at that time, then the interim board came with a proposal that would then allow the shareholder to intervene. And I think it was then on the basis of that there was a guarantee issued so that then SABC could be able to start putting its house in order. The guarantee issued was 1.4 billion. and the SABC took 1 billion. Of course, the remainder of 473 million was subject to the SABC meeting certain conditions that were attached to the guarantee that I'll talk to shortly. The guarantee came with a number of conditions, or maybe before even going to the conditions of the guarantee, the business case that led to the issuing of the guarantee was prepared and put forward by the SABC. The numbers were conceptualized or designed by the interim board at that time. And of course then those numbers were used as a basis for then issuing a guarantee. The guarantee came with a number of conditions as reflected on the screen. Those ranged from a revenue enhancement, including the appointment of certain senior key people in positions that are critical at the SABC, areas such as sponsorship, revenue, reviewing the sports strategy, reviewing and implementing corporate governance and procurement policies and procedures, because those were identified by the task team as problematic areas, and therefore the guarantee could not just be issued without really getting an undertaking from the SABC that these areas would be fixed. There were also areas which included cost-cutting measures, and those ranged from content restructuring, which was also one problematic area at the SABC at that time, right-sizing the organization to look into escalating HR costs, reviewing the professional fees, and also then there was a requirement for the SABC to look into the overall austerity measures across the organization, because I did mention earlier that the costs were escalating and the revenues were declining, and therefore the corporation had to tighten the belt in terms of controlling those areas. The other area which was also then identified was an area around accountability enforcement and performance monitoring, whereby the SABC was required to develop, in conjunction with the Department of Communications, a plan with milestones, timelines, people responsible, to see to it that those conditions that were stipulated in the government guarantee were being met. It was then agreed at that point that the plan will form the basis for monitoring on a monthly basis the cost-saving, revenue enhancement initiatives, and so on. There was also then a requirement that because there were certain issues that the Auditor General had identified at the SABC, which speak to some of the challenges that were prevailing at that time, the SABC had to then come up with a plan in terms of how it was going to address the issues raised by the Auditor General. And therefore, those commitments will then ordinarily be captured in the shareholders' compact signed between the Minister of Communications, the Chairperson of the Board, and the SABC. Also part of the conditions of the guarantee was the establishment of the monitoring task team comprising of the SABC, DOC, and National Treasury, essentially to look into the performance of the SABC on a monthly basis, through reviewing progress reports and determining whether SABC was making progress in meeting the conditions of the guarantee. The monitoring committee sits on a monthly basis to look into this report and so on. This team was then tasked to make recommendations to both the ministers of communications and finance in terms of how SABC was progressing. In terms of, I did mention earlier on, and I think DG also touched on this, to say the SABC had to come up with a case for it to be given a guarantee. And the SABC at that time, they came with three scenarios. And the scenario that was actually then chosen was the base case scenario. Essentially what this means is that the government guarantee was issued on the strength of the numbers that were provided in the best case scenario. In other words, the board looked into the revenue to say this is how revenue is going to look like, this is how our expenses are going to look like, and therefore on the basis of that, the guarantee was issued. Now, maybe before just moving into the turnaround plan, the turnaround and the Season Zaluba report, the guarantee was issued towards end of 2009, and of course then at that time the SABC had to start putting the plans in place. But I must indicate that I think things started off a bit slow in terms of really putting a solid plan in place. The monitoring team was formulated sometime in June of 2010, meaning that there was also a bit of a delay there in terms of putting the team in place to start looking into the reports coming from the SABC. Now, the time when the monitoring team was established to start looking into the situation at the SABC, there was a bit of a challenge in the sense that the task team at that point was not really comfortable that things were moving towards the right direction. Things were a little bit scattered. One could not really put a finger or a hand on what really was going on. And of course then the team, there had to be this back and forth between the monitoring task team and the SABC so that the corporation can actually get its house in order. Because essentially what the team was looking at was to say, let us look at revenue enhancement initiatives. What has been done? What are the plans to enhance the revenues? If there's a line that has been identified to say this is how it's going to contribute to revenues by so many percentages, then give us the plans that show how that is going to be done, give us the timelines, give us the names of people responsible. And I think that was the area, those were some of the areas that were problematic. And also the cost cutting, if the corporation says we're going to reduce headcount by so much, or we're going to reduce this expenditure by so much, give us the plans, give us the people responsible, the timelines, and so on. So it started off very, very slow in terms of making sure that things were put in place. And in the process, whilst there was then this back and forth between the SABC and the monitoring task team, the monitoring team was not really quite comfortable with the numbers. If I may put it this way, to say the task team did not have much confidence in the numbers that were being put forward. And as a result, then a decision was taken that because the SABC at that time was adamant that no, the numbers provided are credible and accurate and so on, and the monitoring team was saying something different. It was then, there was a decision taken to say the services of an independent party will have to be solicited. And not only that, there was also an issue that the monitoring team had only had numbers that only covered 1 year, and whereas the team should have been provided with the 36 months cash flow projections, because then SABC will be paying off the loan over the next 3 years. So the team just wanted to get a sense to say, the next 3 years, what are we talking? Can we get a sense of comfort that the SABC will be able to move or what the situation is likely to be? I think that was around sometime in March, and the talk at that time in March was that no, the numbers will be available in June 2011, and the team was not comfortable with that. So that's how it was, on the basis of that then Season Zaluba was brought on board. Of course, they came and they looked at the numbers in terms of the work that has been done by the SABC. Well, of course, Season Zaluba found that yes, there were efforts that were made by the SABC, the turnaround plan was there in bits and pieces. Things were, you know, scattered all over. So they then came to a conclusion that based on the historical performance of the SABC and the differences between what SABC was putting forward versus what is in the government guarantee, they were not quite convinced that the wheels will be able to turn going forward. But I must indicate that that was before the SABC produced their annual performance, which came out just after, I think a couple of weeks ago, we received the audited financial statement from the SABC. I think then continuing forward, the task team further pressed the SABC to get its house in order, put together plans, make sure that this turnaround plan can have a head and tail. And I must say that I think at the time when the task team did that, the SABC slowly came on board in terms of putting some of these things in place. And I think I must also emphasize that in March, when we were having a very heated debate with the SABC on the subject, I think the SABC started making some efforts to ensure that things are being put in order. And I think as a result of that, and particularly, or maybe before I even talk to that, I must mention that we then received the numbers that we wanted as a monitoring team, the 36 months cash flow. And then, of course, we looked at the numbers. But I think what I'm going to be then doing, before I just give a presentation on the actual performance of the SABC versus the or against the government guarantee, is to indicate that I think since June we started seeing things turning a little bit different at the SABC in terms of the reporting, in terms of the SABC coming to the party, honouring some of the commitments, cooperating with the task team. The reason why I'm raising this is because initially the team really got a sense that there was no sense of honesty coming from the corporation in as far as its work was concerned. I think I did speak about these are some of the areas that were highlighted in the as part of the conditions of the guarantee. But I think what is very critical is to begin then to show the actual performance of the SABC for the financial year 10-11 against the government guarantee. The numbers are a little bit on the screen, but I think in the presentation the numbers can easily be seen. I must indicate that the effort put by the SABC, the interventions of the monitoring committee, the interventions by the board and the minister, began to push or drive SABC towards ensuring that they take the turnaround serious, because initially I don't think really at the SABC this turnaround initiative there was seriousness attached to it, and also the fact that it was not something that was shared across the organization. It was regarded as something that belonged to a certain or maybe a management team. And I think through pushing the SABC, the minister, the board, and the monitoring team, what we're seeing in front of us, it's actually the performance that SABC has been able to produce for the financial year that we've just emerged from. Now, the there are three columns in the financials. The first column deals with the SABC, particularly if you can focus on 10-11 column. This is the This is the actual performance of the SABC for 2011, and then the second column deals with the government guarantee, meaning that this is what was stipulated in the government guarantee that SABC will be able to do. And then the third column under financial year 2011 then talks to the difference between what SABC has achieved against what is in the conditions of the government guarantee. Now, the first area deals with the revenue. Now, if you look at the revenue, you'll notice that there are about five items there. There's advertising, sponsorships, trade exchange, revenue, TV licenses, government grants, and other revenue. Now, these are the main revenue items. Now, going to the very first one, which is advertising revenue, which of course forms the bulk of the SABC income. It's sitting at 3.5504, and when you look at the government guarantee on the second column, the first under 1011, it's 3.501. So you can clearly see that there's a slight improvement in that the SABC has slightly moved beyond or just a little bit above what is stipulated in the government guarantee. Now, if you go through all of them, like you go into sponsorship, you'll then notice that it's 483 in the government guarantee. There's 607. There's a slight difference there of about 123. Then you go to trade exchange revenue, also the same. There's a slight difference there. TV licenses, 872 against 933. Government grants, 145 against 208. And then the other income will then be 222 against 221. So that will then be what forms the revenue at the SABC. Now, when you go to the expenditure, you also just, if you go through line by line, you can clearly see the performance of the SABC against the performance of the government guarantee. The differences are listed on the third column. So this, the revenue and the expenditure, they then seem to give one a fair sense of where the corporation is. For example, when you look at the expenditure, you'll notice that of course there are certain areas that are still a little bit stubborn, more especially areas such as personnel costs. They are still posing a bit of a challenge. But some of these areas are already being addressed in the plans that the SABC is putting forward. Now, going further down to the profit loss for the year, you then notice that in the government guarantee, there was a projected loss of 228, and the SABC has performed better than that. If you look under the SABC, under 1011, it's 129,271. So basically, what this does, it then shows that the SABC has actually performed better than what was than the projected loss in the conditions of the government guarantee. Now, if I could just maybe just reflect a little bit on what these numbers are saying. Somebody may look at the numbers and say the projected loss in the government guarantee was 228 million, and the SABC has managed to do 129. Somebody may ask a question to say, they are still in the red. I think from where we are sitting, this picture begins to then show that something is happening at the SABC. This picture is beginning to say the turnaround initiatives at the SABC are beginning to pay off. And I think it's also fair to then indicate that if the SABC had started at a much faster pace than the mode that they are in right now, Perhaps this picture would have slightly improved. It would have been better than this. But I think where we are sitting at the moment, of course, there are some challenges that I'm going to be talking about now. To say what how do we see the future of the SABC or the picture going forward? But this then begins to show show that work is happening. The management is beginning to take the turnaround initiatives very serious, and I think I must also then indicate that if you look at also the kind of cooperation that the SABC is giving to the shareholder monitoring team and so on, it's slightly different from the original situation that we were sitting with. So essentially, this, in our view, is the first piece of evidence which then begins to show where is this turnaround? Is it happening or is it not happening? We are not entirely saying that it's 100%, but this picture begins to tell that the wheels are turning. And I think without really going into the individual line items, because they are already indicated in the financial statements, if you look into the first quarter performance of the SABC now, that is 11-12. You also see that the picture is it's slightly different, and again I think it then begins to talk to the fact that there are some fruits that are beginning to emerge as a result of the turnaround, looking at advertising revenue and so on. So essentially, we are of the view that the following slides, they just seek to capture the performance of the first quarter. Of course, we will then have a full picture by end of the year to say how did then the SABC perform in the financial year 11-12 against the government guarantee. Then I think maybe just to wrap up the discussion or the presentation, I think what we need to indicate is that despite this improved performance by the SABC, the challenges, of course, still remain, in the sense that for the SABC to be able to move forward, it will require interventions from government, particularly on strategic projects such as the DTT. I think it is really a fact that needs to be put forward, because this is not this is a national priority, and of course then the SABC will have to be assisted going forward in terms of making sure that it receives support from the state. And I think also then the other issues that would need to be attended to are the issues of picking up speech, because we are of the view that had the speed been equal to what it is now, we would be somewhere else. But now this speed needs to be increased a little bit. And this talks to issues such as consolidating the turnaround, making sure that vacancies are filled in, and so on. And I think as a way of trying to address some of those challenges, there is a conversation currently between the ministers, that is the Minister of Communication and Minister of Finance, to then say how do we ensure that SABC moves into a higher gear going forward, given that the hurdles that we had at the SABC are not entirely solved, but some of the interventions that were made have helped the SABC to function like a normal corporation. Because I did mention that before you would have a situation where things are centered around individuals and you would not really get a sense that there's honesty. And I must indicate that also the culture that is beginning to emerge of management being open and honest it's something that is encouraging, because that was not there. I mean, you talk about the SABC before June, you wouldn't really see that, because you had the situation whereby the management was just playing everyone, you know, not really coming to the picture with the right stuff, with the right information. And I think the interventions that were made, from where we're sitting, they've really helped quite a lot.
5 minutes left.
To take the SABC to the next level. And I think, Chair, in closing, we do acknowledge the fact that there's progress, and we are saying that government will have to come to the party to assist in one or the other, and SABC will have to be assisted as well, just to make sure that it's able to pick up the speed going forward, as a way of making sure that this turnaround is achieved. I think I'll pause right there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. And I think on that note, if the Chair allows us, we can receive the presentation from National Treasury through Ms. Avril, who is the Chief Director at National Treasury.
Thank you, DG. You must just end there. The next one, I will determine who's coming. Your mic is on. Your mic. Thanks very much. We have received apologies from Honorable Mthambi, the Minister, that they won't be able to attend. Mthambi is engaging in the scope, and the Minister has prior commitment. The Deputy Minister was also on my list for apologies, but I'm sure logic will say we must withdraw it because he's here. He has finally arrived. That's okay. SABC, you are next. We'll close with the pass of the public.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Communications, Deputy Minister of EOC, Mr. Babela. I would like to ask our members to introduce themselves. We are happy that the vacant positions on the board have now been filled, and we thank the Portfolio Committee for expediting this process, and we hope that the filling of the one remaining vacancy is going to be speedy and therefore give us the full complement of members to do our work. So I will start with the introductions. I'm B.S. Ngubane, Chairperson of the SABC Board.
Good morning. I am Phil Molefe. I'm the acting group CEO of the SABC.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Sete Patricia Makesha, one of the new board members.
Good morning, I'm Lerato Nager, the acting chief financial officer of the SABC.
Morning, I'm Pippa Green, SABC board member.
Morning, I am Nkomotana Motsepe, board member.
Molweni, ndingqawekazi Mahlatsi.
Suzanne Voss, board member.
Good morning, Claire O'Neill, board member.
Good morning, members. I'm Lumko Mkimde, board member. Thank you.
And good morning to you all. My name is Sam Bidana, the new board member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank you and the Portfolio Committee on Communications for affording us a chance to come and discuss the progress that we have made, and of course to share with you the concerns we have and plot out the trajectory going forward. We are very heartened by the evaluation given by the Department of Communications, representing the shareholder in the South that is the South African government in relation to the SABC. Before I give my brief introductory remarks. I would just like to remark that the loss of 119 million rand becomes a theoretical accounting artifact, in fact, when you consider that we have in the bank more than 500 million rand. So I would like that perspective of 119 million loss to be seen against actually having cash more than 500 million rands in the bank. And I think one gets a sense then of the progress that is being made. Mr. Molife, our group structure executive, will talk about the group structure. Dr. Patricia Makesha will talk about strategic drivers that have shaped our objectives and shaped the structure that we have now proposed for the SAPC. And the acting CFO, Mr. Lerato Nake, will talk about government guaranteed targets. Just to give a brief background, I would say that although challenging, a number of objectives have been achieved with regard to the government guarantee conditions. And to recap that in the application for a government guarantee, the interim board of the SAPC in October 2009 detailed the outline of funding requirements which were needed in order to maintain the SAPC as a going concern. These were conveyed to the Minister of Communications, Honorable General Retired Sipiwe Nyanda. The amount of the government guarantee requested was 1.473 billion and was additional to the 200 million allocation to the SAPC in the 2009-2010 adjustment estimates of national expenditure. The government guarantee application was based on the SAPC's corporate plan, which dealt with the organization's key performance areas for the MTF period of 2009 to 2012. It also articulated a turnaround strategy designed to stabilize the SAPC and return it to profitability by 2012, while fulfilling the SAPC's public broadcast mandate. It was intended that the government guarantee be used to secure medium-term funding from commercial banks, funding which would restore liquidity to the organization and enable the sign-off of the SAPC's audited financial statements and the external auditor's report for the year ending March 2009. The request for the government guarantee met the requirements of the Public Finance Management Act, as well as the Treasury regulations, and the application supported the SAPC mandate, its objectives, and those of the government as a whole. But I'll plead again, Chairperson, that in looking at the progress that has been made, one should consider that in 2009, the interim board based its projections in terms of future cash flows and revenue streams on the 2006 market figures. At that stage, advertising revenues were growing by 8.6%. But with the crisis that subsequently followed in the financial markets, growth was reduced to 3.6% again of advertising. And of course, sponsorships became more difficult and trade exchanges became very difficult. This is the reality in which we are operating, not the reality of 2006. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I will be looking at the strategic drivers based on the turnaround strategy that SABC has embarked on. And I will first like to say the board has identified the four pillars in terms of business as a whole, namely the resource perspective, the internal business processes, the stakeholder perspective, and the financial perspective. If we look at the first two pillars, which is your resource perspective and the internal business processes, they're actually focusing on the internal environment within SABC. And the stakeholder perspective and financial perspective are mainly from the external environment.
I think the House will agree with me that in each and every business, it is very critical that you put your foundation in order. And what do I mean by that? When you look at the resource perspective, there are two critical elements, your staff and the technology that they use. When you look at the turnaround strategy of SABC, it was quite clear that there was a mismatch between the staff and the technology that was being used. You can have the most brilliant staff, but if they don't have an enabling situation in order for them to be able to produce the results that the organization desires, then you're going nowhere. Or you can have the most important technology, but if you don't have people to implement that, still you're going nowhere. So before the turnaround strategy was actually introduced, SABC had a very weak foundation, because if you look at the alignment between the staff and the technology, there was a mismatch. And the turnaround strategy started at the foundation phase to address that issue from a resource perspective point of view, to say, how do we make sure that we align our staff to the kind of skills that we need to have a solid foundation? Of course, it's a working in progress and it's still kicking in. The second phase becomes your internal business processes. What do we mean by that? Looking at the core functions of SABC, your TV, your radio, news, sports. Most critically, let us take into consideration that when you deal with TV and radio, you are focusing on both segments of the PBS and PCS. And in this issue, you were with the situation whereby the alignment in terms of the value chain was actually absent. What do we mean by that? The left hand was not talking to the right hand, so the alignment was not there. So everybody was operating in a silo mentality, and that made it difficult from the internal business processes for the organization to function optimally. So you will find that a certain division had its own values, and another one had its own values. It was like a lot of PTY limited inside one organization. So that in itself was posing a threat, and the turnaround strategy focused on addressing that pillar specifically. Moving out of that box, you'll agree with me that if the foundation is not right and the internal business processes is not right, surely your arrows will be facing down, and it impacts on the external environment. The stakeholder perspective, taking into consideration that we are regulated in terms of the legislation, and surely from a stakeholder perspective, there is no way that you're going to project a positive perspective unless your internal house is in order. Therefore, this affected SABC reputation, because the stakeholders, the public at large, started seeing at this and saying, what is going on there? The internal business processes is not working. So the turnaround strategy also touched on the element of the stakeholder perspective to say, once the internal environment is being taken care of, then the external will follow. And lastly, the financial perspective. There is no way that you're going to build a house and think that you're going to start with the roof. If the foundation is weak, that house will fall. And that was exactly what was happening at SABC, because the foundation was not good. There was no way that the financials were going to be positive. So when we look at the strategic drivers, we shouldn't look at it from one angle, because we'll be making a huge mistake. We should look at the building blocks to say, is now the turnaround strategy addressing all the building blocks? And how do we turn this strategy into action? Because that is what is more critical. We can have a good strategy in place, but the implementation of it is equally important, because that strategy needs to be turned into action. So looking at the strategic drivers that the board has identified, it actually summarizes the turnaround strategy that is currently in place at the SABC. And I will leave on that note to hand over to the CEO to actually talk to the structure that will make sure that it delivers the strategy to be in place. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And flowing from the preceding presentation, the foundation is now firmly in place, and the turnaround strategy process underway. And now for that strategy to be effectively implemented, you would need a structure. structure serves as an implementation tool of your strategy. So this structure is informed by strategy. And Dr. Makesha is quite right that there had been no alignment in the SABC, and even the structure that had been in place previously was a structure not informed by strategy. Now, what we are putting in place, Chairperson, is a structure that speaks to strategy, understanding strategy to be the way how you would then achieve your vision. And the vision being the SABC we would all like to see 3 years, 5 years down the line. The structure approved by the board, Chairperson, and now being tabled before this House is one with the three key principal players. The triumvirate is primarily the executive directors, but also members of the group executive. And that team is led by the group chief executive officer and supported or assisted by the group finance officer, the CFO, and the chief operating officer. And right below, and with a very clear line of sight to the CEO, is that area which is the core business of the organization. And this is informed by the strategy that we are currently rolling out. And the core business areas are news, the radio platform, television, sport, legal and regulation, and provinces and stakeholder relations. These are critical core function areas of the business and therefore have a direct line of sight to the CEO. You do also have very important, equally important functions that report directly to the COO, but nevertheless provide an essential support to the business. And these areas are commercial enterprises, human capital services, risk, future media, and innovation. So from that line, Chairperson, it is quite clear that you have a function of a COO who provides support to the CEO to ensure that the operational areas of the organization are properly coordinated, but not only coordinated, but also provide support to the key core functions or core business of the organization. And the core business, as I have spelled out, is news, radio as a platform, television, and of course legal and regulation, because we operate in a regulated environment, but also provinces, because the SABC needs to be seen to be existing throughout the country, and provinces are critical. And equally so is the stakeholder relations, because the SABC must be seen to be fulfilling its public mandate requirements. And proceeding on to the organizational achievements so far, and something that we need to continue working on, is the work that is now beginning to show from the successful implementation of the turnaround strategy. Yes, Chairperson, it had not been a great start, but I think it's been a start nevertheless. and one that we are now beginning to improve the pace. And I take a line from the DDG, DOC, Mr. Sam Vilagazi, when he says, the wheels are beginning to turn at the SABC, and it is indeed true that the wheels are turning, but we have not arrived. We need to accelerate the pace, and we would be the first chairperson to acknowledge that this pace needs to be accelerated even further. The turnaround strategy, chairperson, is anchored on three pillars. One is recovery, then stabilization, and then we move on to sustainability of the organization. We had to recover from the situation that obtained in 2008, where the organization was going down a slippery road, and we have to recover from that. And that is beginning to show signs of recovery. And in fact, we are now moving on to the second phase, and that is stabilizing the organization. I'm not going to go through that slide, chairperson, at Weber team. Safe to say that we've been through turnaround, and we are consolidating what we have begun to achieve in turnaround, particularly that we were able to collect in the region of 150 million rand of old debt because of the turnaround plan that is now in place. And now with that recovery in place, we're moving on to stabilization, to stabilize the organization. And as we do that, it is important that we even improve how we interact, how we deal with important stakeholders, particularly in the MTT, the DOC, and the National Treasury. And then we also have to make sure that the management of the SABC is firmly behind this turnaround, and we all put shoulder to wheel to ensure that the SABC delivers on its mandate. And the operational achievements are also in three areas: the strategic goals, the stakeholder area, and the broadcasting successes. At a very high level, chairperson, we can say the turnaround strategy is now firmly in place, and we have revised the operating model, and the structure is now going to be introduced, and we want to make sure that even the performance contracts that have been signed, there is continuous monitoring of management performance. Stakeholder is very, very important in our everyday work, and we have really begun to ensure that we engage stakeholders at all levels, government, business, and the public at large. Examples of these are the recent local government elections, where for the first time we said as the SABC we must engage all political parties even before the elections went underway. And we held a series of meetings with various political parties, engaging them on issues, challenges, and our coverage plans. And I think that really enhanced understanding in where the SABC is coming from and what the expectations of the political parties were. We continue with the consultations with the Ministry of Sport as one of the government guarantee conditions that we come up with a clear strategy for the coverage of sports of national importance. And we are working on that, and would like to come back to this committee, and indeed through the Department of Communications, to inform them on the strategy that we are developing for sport. But this is a process that is underway, chairperson, as we want to do this in consultation with the sports department. The broadcasting success, I think we need to consolidate on the consolidate the modest gains that we have made and then continue to deal with the challenges we face. So, Chairperson, the structure is in place. There are operational achievements that we are beginning to make. There is, however, a lot more to be done. We are under no illusion that there are challenges, but we are beginning to deal with those challenges, and we would like to continue to come back to the House and report on the progress we are making. Thank you. And now I will hand over the baton to the Acting Chief Financial Officer to take us through now the government guarantee and the figures. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, GCO. Thank you, Chairperson of the committee, members of the committee, and our colleagues from DOC and National Treasury. What I'm going to present before you is the background of where the SABC comes from in terms of performance against the government guarantee, our performance of 2010-2011, and the future going forward. In 2008, the corporation made a profit of $93 million, and the situation worsened to an operating loss of $790 million in 2009 as a result of operating expenses and employee costs which had risen drastically, as well as various operational and management inefficiencies. That affected the free cash flow, and we encountered problems in honoring payments or paying our creditors, committed contracts, and commissioned local content productions. That led to the assistance from the shareholder and the National Treasury through the interim board. We secured the government guarantee to the value of $1.473 billion, and the SABC accessed $1 billion of debt through a financial intermediary, Binet Bank. That was meant to eliminate the solvency crisis that the SABC experienced in 2009. The amount was conditional on meeting strict conditions and criteria set by National Treasury, as was outlined earlier by the shareholder. What is remaining on the $1473 billion is the $473 million that would be made available on meeting additional requirements. However, as the corporation, given our financial performance, we are of the view that we won't be accessing that additional facilities. And that is supported by the improved performance to date, being improved cash flow, the recovery in profitability that is clearly illustrated by the reduced cost of 719 2009 229 million now as we speak. Performance against budget, it was illustrated earlier by the shareholder to show that SABC continues to perform against budget, and the turnaround benefits that I will talk to as we go along in the presentation. Members of the committee and the chairperson, we as the SABC management and the board would like to inform you that the SABC continues to improve its performance both operationally and financially, and that is supported by the improved financial performance of the financial year 10-11 as per the audited numbers. If we looked at our revenue and we compared it to the previous year, we can see that there's a growth of 10% year on year, and we expect this positive trend to continue in this tough environment. When we move further to our cost, we see that the austerity measures that were implemented in 2009 and carried on have led to cost having continued to decrease, and this is due to aggressive cost management. The operating loss before interest and tax has improved from a loss of 114 in the financial year of 2009-2010 to a mere $35 million in 2011. An operating loss for the year, as was earlier illustrated by the shareholder, is $129 million versus the government guarantee target of $229 million. This has translated to an improved performance of $99 million. Included in our financial performance as well is defined benefit obligation that have contributed a net charge of $118 million, driven mainly by the charge of actuarial losses from the post-retirement medical aid liability. And the actuarial losses is related to how your liabilities and the assets in the market are being valued. And also the defined benefit pension fund, the net movement charge of $38 million. That has led us to a comprehensive loss of $214 million. moving further. When we go to the slides in the cash flow. Yes, thank you. As we know that in the business, we don't only look at our financial performance. We only look at our we also look at our financial position and our cash flow. Looking at our balance sheet, the improved financial performance is closely linked to the balance sheet strength. Our balance sheet continues to strengthen year on year, and this is clearly outlined as cash and cash have remained positive for the past 2 years, and we closed a positive balance of 109 million. This is closely linked to the continued improvement of working capital. And the trend and the benefits are included in the turnaround, and we continue to aggressively manage our working capital to make sure that we maintain our liquidity level. And when we move further and we look at our cash flow statement and our financial performance, the corporation since 2009 has finally generated a positive cash from operation of 523 million, versus cash utilized by operation of 227 million. And that is an improved performance. And if you evaluate any business, members of the committee would agree that the first statement that you look at is your cash flow statement. And this trend is positive, and we expect this trend to continue in the next financial year as the benefits of the turnaround strategies are continued to be realized. Now, when we talk about the turnaround benefits, the turnaround strategy that is currently implemented, members of the committee would agree with the SABC board and management when we say that we've already realized the benefits of the turnaround. Included in our debtors book was 400 million that we couldn't recover. We've recovered 150 million and resolved some of the queries that are related to our old debtors book. And that is for the first quarter financial performance, giving support that the turnaround strategy that is being implemented by the SABC board begins to bear fruit. This slide that I'm talking about is for the 36-month cash flow from the financial year 11-12 to 13-14. And this seeks to outline the projected financial performance of the SABC going forward, and is split in different scenarios that have been modeled. We've got the level of cash safety level. You've got the base model. You've got base model excluding turnaround achievements, adjusted base model including turnaround achievement risk and opportunities and no medium-term expenditure framework funding, base model including turnaround achievements, risk opportunities, and MTF funding. We will talk firstly about the level of cash safety. In 2009, when the shareholder and the National Treasury came in, they criticized the corporation to say that we do not know what is our cash safety level. We went back as part of modeling our cash flow forecast and making sure that we're sustainable. We looked at our past financial performance over 6 months, and we said a business like SABC would need a certain amount of money to continue to be solvent and to pay our creditors as and when they fall due. And we modeled that going forward in the next coming 6 months. And we got to a cash safety being a liquidity position of 300 million. Now, moving quickly to the base model. The base model says that we do not do turnaround, and I've already indicated that we've got the benefit of turnaround. We do not get MTEF funding. We do not do DTT. We will close in the financial year 11-12 with a positive cash balance of 55 million. The situation, however, will worsen to a 229 million overdraft, and the performance will improve slightly to 49,988,000. Now, if you go to a base model excluding turnaround achievement, it says that you will close the next financial year. If you do not, if you stop with the turnaround, in the red to the tune of 446 million overdraft, the situation will worsen to 1,379,000,000, and it will go further in the financial year 13-14 to 1.7 billion. Now, if we say we go to another scenario where we say adjusted base model, including turnaround achievement, however, we do not get the MTM funding request that we have made, we will close in a positive cash balance of 55 million in the financial year 11-12. However, the situation will worsen to 1.6 billion overdraft in the red, to financial year 13-14, situation worsened into 3.7 billion. If we take the best case model that we believe that it is the best case for the SABC to be able to implement DTT, carry out the digital payout center, another infrastructure that is related to migration to DTT. We have a scenario where we close the financial year with a positive balance of 55 million, 712, and that will just decrease slightly to 31 million in the financial year 12-13, and it will improve dramatically to 402,649,000. Now, members of the committee, what is this slide telling us? It tells us that the benefits of the turnaround are visible, they are clear. SABC has continued to perform and improve its financial performance. For the SABC to be able to support the country and move into GTT, we will need the funding for the GTT, development of sports of national interest, the Digital Playout Center and Digital Library. So for us to continue with the work, the positive work that has been seen with the improved financial performance of 2010 and 2011, we need to continue with the turnaround. We need to accelerate our pace, as the acting GCO has already illustrated. And we request support that we be provided with the funding that the SABC needs and require to carry out DTT in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Our plea is that the Portfolio Committee on Communications recognizes the strides that have been made. We inherited an almost insolvent organization on the brink of collapse. But now we have repaid 110 million of the net bank debt of 1 billion. We have repaid this before December, where it was due to be called in. So if we continue paying in the region of 50 million every month, we will have already begun to seriously reduce the net bank loan. But at the same time, we are accumulating savings, we are getting a positive cash flow. We need the support of government to do this work. The overheads at SABC are still unacceptably high. And one of the key drivers of these overhead costs is headcount. We have to reduce headcount. Headcount is blown incredibly high before 2009. This is unsustainable. So we need support. We will have to reduce the number of people at the SABC. And we ask political parties not to make this a political football, because it's very, very serious in terms of the organization. We will need to use whatever extra cash resources in the pension fund that we have to probably promote voluntary severance packages and early retirements. But even that will not be enough unless government steps into the breach and helps us with retrenchment packages. We are on a positive roll. All we ask is continued support from this portfolio committee and from our Department of Communications. Thank you very much.
Thank you, SABC. Public pace. How much do we have to support SABC?
Thank you very much, Jay. And thank you to the honourable members, and also just good morning to our colleagues from the Department of Communications and also from the SABC. I'm going to just start while my colleagues are loading up the presentation by just asking, I'll introduce myself and my colleagues from the National Treasury. My name is Avril Halstead. I'm the Chief Director for Sector Oversight, which basically means overseeing the state-owned enterprises. And maybe Bjersen and Petrus, if you can introduce yourselves.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bjersen Babuji. I'm from the Office of the Accountant General in National Treasury.
Good morning, the honorable members and colleagues.
My name is Petros Maji from Public Finance, National Treasury.
Okay, thank you. What we've done as the National Treasury is we didn't want to reiterate what the DOC and the SABC have already presented to you. So we've just chosen to focus on a few key aspects that we thought were important, particularly from a financing point of view. I'm sorry, it seems as if I don't know if you've all got copies of the presentation, but we had sent it through earlier, so just apologies if you don't.
Don't worry, all members are supposed to have. If they don't, you can try other means to get there.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to just talk some issues about reporting, compliance with the guarantee conditions, the projected cash flow position, and the MTF application, and then I'll basically wrap up. So we are basing this report on a number of submissions that we have received from the SABC, and in line with the comments that our colleagues from the Department of Communications have already made, we have seen a significant improvement in our relationship with the SABC in this regard in terms of us getting a lot more regular reporting. Although there are still some gaps, but we are working together with them to try and close that down. So what we have received for the last few months has been a CFO report. We've received divisional income statements. We've received a turnaround strategy executive project update, which is basically updating on the turnaround initiatives, and a performance review report, which is reporting against the key performance indicators that the SABC has identified. What we've also received we received a corporate plan at the end of February, but it was missing some information, in particular the three-year financial projections. And why that was important to us was that we needed to know that the turnaround initiatives that were being undertaken by the SABC would actually turn the institution around. They weren't just nice things to be done. As has been highlighted by the CFO, we have received a 36-month cash flow projection, with the latest one that we received at the end of June. And we have also received this turnaround strategy executive project update, which is basically project plans for implementing the turnaround initiatives. And what we had requested was that the SABC consolidate these reports into a single turnaround strategy document. Because in some places they were not speaking exactly to each other. We have received on Saturday a consolidated document, but it's still not really covering the turnaround strategy, the initiatives, and creating that link between the initiatives and the financial projections. So that's still a bit of a concern on our side. And I think it relates to, I'm going to skip a bullet point, but the signed performance agreements that we had received from the executive committee. I'm surprised my colleagues from the DOC didn't highlight this because they actually did a lot of the work, but they went through them in detail, and there were mismatches between what was in the turnaround initiatives that particular executives were responsible for and what was in the performance agreements, with the performance agreements tending to reflect the key performance indicators that had been identified rather than the turnaround initiatives. So we were a bit concerned that of that mismatch because, the whole reason for asking for those performance agreements was to make sure that the initiatives that had been identified in terms of the turnaround strategy were then cascading down through the organization. We've also, as our colleagues have highlighted, the SABC had submitted an MTF application to the Department of Communications, and they sent us a copy as well. And the Department of Communications had, subsequent to this presentation being made, submitted an application to us, and I'll talk a little bit more in detail about that later on. Just one of the issues that we have picked up is there's still inconsistencies in the information that's been communicated to government, albeit that there are significant improvements. And one of the examples was the News 24 channel, where, for instance, in the MTF application that we received, there were statements that tended to indicate that the SABC was already undertaking capital expenditure investments in relation to the News 24 initiative, but the colleagues who attend the monitoring task team meeting said to us no, that those were investments that needed to be made anyway. So it's all a little bit confusing sometimes what's going on. So we've tried to summarize here in terms of the guarantee conditions. So to be clear, I'm going to speak now. These are the conditions that were specified by the Minister of Finance when he provided his concurrence to the guarantee being issued by the Minister of Communications. And there were four key ones. It was developing a detailed turnaround plan outlining milestones, timelines, and executives responsible for achieving the cost savings and revenue enhancement measures. And if we have to be very blunt about it, you know, that one, we're not yet in compliance. It's not yet being complied with. The implementation plan for addressing the issues raised in the Auditor General's report, it was also meant to be a plan outlining milestones, timelines, executives responsible, etc. We're not yet in compliance with that one. The cost-cutting and revenue enhancement measures to be captured in the shareholder compact, it also hasn't been done. And then the monitoring task team has been established. I'll come back to these points just now as well. And then here we are talking about when the SABC came to apply for the guarantee, they presented a number of cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives to government that they were going to undertake. And essentially the guarantee, certainly from a National Treasury perspective, the Minister of Finance provided his concurrence to the guarantee on the basis of those cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives, because essentially we were looking to see that the organization would be able to turn itself around and would be able to repay the guarantee. So here on this slide I've summarized the commitments that were made by the SABC in relation to the cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives. The targeted savings, I just want to be clear about this, these were the targeted savings over a three-year period, and what I've recorded in terms of achieved are the achievements that were made in 2010-11. And, I mean, there are a number of costs there, but some of them are not so serious and some of them are more serious. So in some of them, you know, as an example, let me just choose one here. Like, for instance, professional fees, you know, there was a 10 million rand discrepancy. It's a lot of money, but relatively speaking, it wasn't as big as some of the other discrepancies. So the ones where there were bigger discrepancies were on the advertising revenue, where there was about 580 million rand shortfall. The sponsorships was about 220 million. The content management was about 600 million. And the people cost was about 400 million. And there was, on other costs, there was about another 200 million over. So I think it wasn't just for us when we were looking at this about whether they were over or under, but also how serious some of these were. And so there's some linkages between what had been going on. So in terms of the cost cutting, basically what had happened was that people costs were not cut, but significant savings. So the 600 million I mentioned on the content was a 600 million saving on content management. And then there was a shortfall on advertising revenues. And how we linked those all up was that essentially there were savings in terms of content, but obviously content drives your programming schedule, and your programming schedule drives who wants to advertise there, and it therefore drives your advertising revenues. So we were worried that, you know, short-term cost-cutting was happening on content management, but it posed a longer-term risk for the SABC in terms of losing advertising revenue and losing market share, and that would ultimately have a negative impact on the institution. And instead, they were failing to achieve the savings in people costs. Okay, you can move on, Sam. So as I highlighted like two slides ago, there was, in terms of the government guarantee initiatives, there were a number of them that hadn't yet been met. But what we had discussed with the representatives from the SABC as part of the monitoring task team meeting was a process that would enable us to at least begin to start meeting some of those commitments, those conditions. So I think the first point is that as in the presentations that have already been presented from the SABC and DOC, there are a number of amendments that SABC is proposing to the cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives, where the commitments that were made 2 years ago when the government guarantee was initially approved, they realized some of them they weren't able to achieve, it would be very difficult, and so they're proposing changes to some of those. They're also proposing that the Nedbank loan be restructured to try and save on some of the interest costs. It's a little bit confusing to us, but we have received a proposal about exactly what they want to do. And then what we have said, because if you change the cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives, it could significantly increase the risk of the loan. So if we're not achieving the same sort of cost savings and we're not achieving the same sort of revenue enhancement initiatives, it might mean that the SABC wasn't able to repay the loan. So we said that really needed to be reconsidered by both the ministers to make sure that they were happy with those changes that were being proposed. And so therefore it needed to be submitted to both the Minister of Communications and the Minister of Finance for approval. And once that was approved, and as I've highlighted, they have submitted to us also a consolidated document, although we still need to do some work on that. That would then be the basis for the turnaround plan. If the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Communications were comfortable with those changes to the cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives, then they could be encapsulated in the shareholder compact, and the shareholder compact could then be approved by the board and by the Minister of Communications. And so that would then meet the guarantee conditions. But I think I think it is still a bit of a worry. You will have seen from the numbers in the SABC's presentation that the projected targets are below, certainly in this coming year, what was originally committed to in the government guarantee targets, and their forecasts are actually turning out to be even worse. So initially they had projected that they would make 12 million rand profit this year against the 228 million rand profit that had been committed to in terms of the government guarantee, and I see in the forecast that they've presented today it's a 72 million rand loss that they're expecting for this year. So those are all worries from our side. This slide the SABC has already presented, and obviously we have based our information on the information that we've received from them. So Lerato has already talked you through the level of the cash safety, the base model, the green line being the base model including the turnaround initiatives and assuming that they receive MTF funding. But the line I particularly want to draw attention to is the red line, which is the base model, including the turnaround achievements, with the risks and opportunities, and the one they've emphasized has been the DTT, but there are a number of other ones, but there's no MTF funding that is forthcoming. So what it shows, if you compare the green line with the red line, is that the SABC's capacity to meet its obligations is almost entirely dependent on MTF funding. And to some extent, this is where we find the conversation about the Nedbank loan a bit confusing, because although SABC has highlighted, and we do acknowledge that in the current year there has been an improvement in terms of the cash flow, our concern is looking 3 years ahead, and we're seeing a 3.7 billion rand shortfall that the SABC are projecting if they don't receive MTF funding. And that's assuming that there are still repayments on the loan, but essentially MTF funding is then replacing the loan. maybe just put them, Sam. This was the MTF application that we had received, and I see there are some updated numbers that the SABC has presented today. But in total, the application that we've received from the Department of Communications, and we still need to receive the detail behind it, was for an amount of around 7.3 billion rand. What you're seeing on the slide that SABC presented on terms of their MTF application, which is probably more accurate than the one that I'm presenting here, was around 4.6 billion rand. So we're not sure exactly where the extra 2.5 or so is coming from. So we still need to interrogate that. But just looking at the what we have received so far and what SABC have presented, the funding is not only for DTT, although a significant amount of the funding is going to DTT. There's also some quite significant amounts going to the National Sports Events of Public Interest and the DTT Sport Channel. And there's also quite a large request coming through for the TV license subsidies and concessionary subsidy, which is basically for people who are on pensions. So we are busy assessing this application still, and obviously I'm sure all the committee members are all familiar with the process where, you know, presentations or proposals will be made to the Minister's Committee on the Budget, and then the Minister of Finance will table the budget here in February, and then it will be considered by the Members of Parliament. So, you know, we as National Treasury, we're not the ones deciding. At the end of the day, it will actually rest with the Members of Parliament to decide how funding is allocated. But from our perspective, you know, the gaps that we are still seeing here is that we haven't seen comprehensive business plans for the News 24, for the Sports Channel, even for the DTT. And so it's quite difficult to then justify that financing should be allocated for those things, especially when the information that we are receiving is indicating, for instance, on the News 24, that the SABC have done some research on experience in other countries, and that indicated that other countries had experienced that it might be loss-making initially and then only it becomes profitable. And given the SABC's financial position, you know, we're concerned that if we invest in something like that, we must know exactly when it's going to turn around, when it's going to be a profitable venture, so that we can also make sure that we're monitoring and tracking to ensure that it does become profitable, and it doesn't just continue to be a drain on the SABC. So those are things that we are still looking for in order to substantiate the application. In addition to that, the 2012 budget, in the 2012 budget, the focus is at the moment on finding savings and reprioritizing spending, as there's very little additional funding that can be made available. In the initial request we had received, there was some funding requests for 2011-12 that, in terms of legislation, can't be considered because only unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure can be considered. And then also, some of the funding requests covered operational expenditure, whereas the SABC had previously committed that they would cover all the operating expenditure and they would only require funding for capital expenditure. And as the Treasury, we would prefer to be, if we were allocating funding, to fund capital expenditure because it's a once-off cost. It's not something that we possibly landing up committing to for the foreseeable future if there were problems. So just coming towards the end here, there is some additional information that we'd requested from the SABC or that we need to in order to do our work. And like I said, the SABC has been working with us, and in fact, since this presentation was compiled, they have actually submitted a number of these pieces of information. So we were, as I've already just highlighted, we're looking for business plans for the News 24, the DTT, and the Sports Channel. They have submitted to us a turnaround strategy for we've received a consolidated turnaround strategy, but I think there's still some linkages to the turnaround initiatives that need to be put in place there. We haven't yet received a turnaround strategy for the SABC 3 and the links to the content procurement. That we have received now the proposal for the restructuring of the Nedbank loan, and so we're still busy reviewing that, and we'll discuss it with the SABC at the monitoring task team meeting at the end of the month. We have received also a project plan and progress report on initiatives to address the Auditor General's recommendations. We're still looking for separate reporting of the public and commercial broadcasting businesses, which is a requirement in terms of the Broadcasting Act. What we are receiving at the moment is divisional reporting, but it's basically showing the revenues that are coming into the public and commercial broadcasting businesses, but not any of the costs that are going out because those are recorded under separate divisions. And then we're looking for monthly reporting on risks and mitigating actions being taken by the SABC. So there were a few areas where they'd highlighted where there were possible threats to revenues or costs, and we're wanting to make sure that those are being monitored and tracked and that we understand what the mitigating actions are that are being taken and whether those will be sufficient to address those risks. So in conclusion, we have seen an improvement in our working relationship with the SABC and the monitoring task team, and we are seeing regular reporting being more forthcoming. Although the SABC is not meeting most of the guarantee conditions, we have outlined a process for addressing those, but it is contingent on the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Communications being comfortable with the revisions to the cost-cutting and revenue enhancement initiatives that are being proposed. We are still quite worried about the SABC's longer-term financial sustainability, as it's almost entirely dependent on receiving additional funding from government. And then there is still some additional information that we're looking for, but as I've highlighted, we're already beginning to receive some of the information that we had requested. There was a meeting held between the Minister of Communications and the Minister of Finance in the last week, and one of the proposals that they'd made was that the Technical Assistance Unit at the National Treasury could be made available to assist the SABC with compiling particularly some of the outstanding documents, looking at the turnaround strategy and other similar types of activities as required. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, members. We'll take questions. After tea, 10 past 11, we are back. No, 11:15. Let us break for tea for 10 minutes. Or leg stretch if there is no tea.
Thank you.
morning, ready members?
But unfortunately, I've got an appointment now at 12 o'clock here in in the office that I cannot avoid. Having listened to the inputs from the DOC and then from SABC and then the latest one from Treasury, one pondered and say, are we living in the same South Africa? And I'm trying to figure out the type of South Africa that we are characterizing and we're living in. We seem to be projecting different worlds in a South Africa that is a developing nation, a third world country, with a lot of poverty, inequality, as you'll know it, and then the levels of unemployment. So as a governing party, you then begin to say, whose interests are we serving? We are serving the interests of the poorest of the poor. Here is an institution with a public mandate to serve those issues of the poor people. And all of us have interest in them, because when one was going through the manifestos of all political parties, indeed, there's a mentioning of servicing the poorest of the poor. So SABC has a mandate in terms of the Act of fulfilling the service of those very, very, very poor. Being a developing nation, then we then begin to say, who should be funding this particular mandate? The minister last week was in the UK. He met with his counterpart there. And the counterpart says that the BBC public mandate from government is 100% funded, full stop. And British is an advanced nation, high levels of literacy. If you compare to the level of literacy and illiteracy in our own situation, those are two different nations completely in comparison to South Africa. But their public mandate is 100% funded. When they go to Parliament, it's not about where to get money or go to commercial banks to borrow money. It's more about how do you spend that money that we have given you in fulfillment of the public service mandate when broadcasting. And they have the judiciary and prudently ensure, therefore, that they account for the monies as assigned. So the minister just said, Minister, I don't even struggle. I just go to Treasury and say, here's my bill for the year. And then Treasury just delivers the money and we're able to fulfill and account for the issues. But in South Africa, it seems that we live in different worlds completely. As one government and as political parties, as individuals. And I think that's one thing that we really ought to then begin to. I'm not saying that we should deviate from the loan as was given, because there are conditions to the loan. We have to fulfill those particular conditions. We shouldn't have even arrived at that particular point in any given situation. The governing party took a resolution also in 2007 in Polokwane for a 60% public funding of the public mandate broadcasting. I'm not sure at what percentage are we today. As we speak here, we ended up going to the commercial banks to go and borrow money. Are we fulfilling the mandates of the ruling party? As a ruling party with a mandate from the ordinary people of South Africa to ensure, therefore, that we are able to learn. However, yes, it is quite worrying also that at the one point or the other in the SABC, obviously, there were issues of leadership and organizational stability. And even when we were thinking of giving 60% or 100% at that particular point in time, anyone would have posed and got worried and say, should we give money to people who will not be able to take care of their public purse and ensure, therefore, that the fulfillment is done in a prudent way, following whatever the terms of accountability are concerned. So having listened to the first part, obviously there's a turnaround now that has happened. Things are beginning to look positively in terms of the recovery. People are projecting sustainability and then going forward, so that those issues of accountability are taken care of, are strengthened to the maximum, and we're able then to say, even when we look at future funding of the SABC, we know that there's a very good leadership on ground, very good management, controls, organizational stability, and then so forth, so forth. And obviously, we ought to be not resting on raising those particular issues continuously until such time that we're able then to say we have an institution that can account for everything that goes into it. And then I think that is the duty of the parliament, obviously, and society in general, to ensure, therefore, that is achieved. And then we ensure, therefore, that whilst we look at the funding model, we were also able to build a very strong organizational capability and ability that can really begin to fulfill on those particular issues. So I'm not asking you not to raise those particular issues. You have to raise them because they indeed were a problem in the few past years. But also let's look at how are they turning around and making sure, therefore, that we're able to attract the best managers and ensure that there's firmer controls of our resources, there's professional ethical conduct that we're able then to build in it. But the issue of the public mandate, I got worried with the last remarks by the Treasurer when it says SABC, it seems, is dependent on state to bail it out. We shouldn't be having such statements, not in this year and not now, with this particular mandate of a 60% by 2012, we have 2011, 4 months left. I don't know whether we'll be able to go and report back and account for it. Other nations, 100%, like British, are just with British as a model. Yesterday, I was in a meeting with the Minister of Lesotho Communication, Science and Technology. He said, well, we're 100% funding the Lesotho TV. It might be small, as is, saving only 1.8 million people, but there are 12 Lesotho that the state is taking care of them in that particular environment. If you are to then look for any other models in Africa, let's then begin to say what other nations that are beginning to fulfill on this public service mandate. So here comes South Africa. We're just in different worlds, in one country, looking at issues from different perspectives, but not able to then say, what is this public service mandate in broadcasting? Is it what we are looking at? Obviously, the loan then we'll have to see how then going forward we will deal with those issues, but I think let's plan and prepare for the future. Chair, with those few words, I hope the engagement will also have been broadened, and then I hope, therefore, that whilst we look at the loan and the organizational ability, let's also look at the public mandate elements of the SABC. Obviously, issues of leadership, how the boards get appointed, people will then say we're not satisfied. You know, those issues will then be raised here, but let's not lose focus on the public service broadcasting mandate to service the 11 languages in South Africa, and also the type of the television that also ought to respond even to language issues in all respects in its service, so that indeed we are this developing nation that is able to fulfill on certain mandates. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Members open for discussion. Honorable Michaels, Zondi, Nondaba, Honorable Tebe, Honorable Killen, Van der Berg, everyone. Honorable Ndabeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just before I get into the questions and the presentations, the Deputy Minister is raising such critical issues, but I'm not sure what he was trying to say. As he said, he's not saying that you must not raise the questions that he wants us to look into. He's reminding us of the mandate. But to my surprise, he comes here as the head of the DOC, which is a policy maker, which is part of the monitoring team. He's surprised by the report that he gets from the National Treasury, especially the statement. I don't know what does that mean. I thought I can be the only one who can be surprised because I'm not part of the monitoring team. My assumption, Honorable Obet, is that you have received that report. Then you could have made your comments to Treasury before you came before us. Now, you also talked to the funding model of the SABC. If you recall, on the budget vote, majority of these members seated here agreed that there is a need for increasing the budget for SABC. But there is no way that we will ever approve an increase if there's no organizational stability, as you have highlighted. So, fears that 2012 is around the corner and we are in 2011 and we haven't yet delivered on the results of the previous conference must be allayed. It is all in your hands, not in this parliament. We are very clear. We are going to deliver on what we have promised our constituency, but we owe it to our constituency to make it a point that the money that we put gives quality to our people. They deserve better. Chairperson, I will come for the questions. I just wanted to highlight those things. Thank you.
Honorable Michael.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, what's that saying? It was all looking so good until Treasury arrived. And then sort of things didn't start looking so good. And that's no offense to Treasury. Chair, a couple of things worried me, but maybe they can be explained. Firstly, that the SABC needs to reduce headcount and that government needs to provide the money to pay the severance packages. I somehow see this as a system of almost cutting off our nose to spite our face because we live in a society where we're promising hundreds and thousands and millions of jobs. And here we are saying that we should, cut heads down at the SABC but still pay what are going to be highly substantial severance packages. So I actually don't see where it's not a win-win situation. In my opinion, it's actually a lose-lose situation because now you've got people who are going to be unemployed and people also getting these large severance packages. While I understand that you need to cut costs in the SABC, I'm sure that there's a better way of doing this than, you know, having to now turn to government to ask for these huge severance packages. I just want to understand the reasoning behind it and how you expect to implement it going forward. Then the proposed loan restructuring, I'd like to see it. I haven't seen a model of this proposed loan restructuring. Treasury are saying that they've seen it, but they don't quite understand it. I think if Treasury doesn't understand it, I have about 0.009% chance of understanding it myself. But I would still, you know, when you are proposing these kind of things, I think it's essential that a portfolio committee has a look at these things to see what is being suggested before we can comment. I do find the content cutting, up to 600 million rand, I believe, was the amount, also quite disturbing and with regards to the effect that it has to advertising. Now, the one thing that I always thought the SABC had right was they had a pretty sharp advertising plan. And, you know, when you cut costs on content, with the greatest amount of respect, the content was already pretty bad. And to think now that the content is going to be cut even more, there is a very good reason people have DSTV. And that's because SABC is bad. If you put on TV, you're watching Bruce Lee movies of 1982, if you're lucky. You know, the sport content isn't of a high enough standard, and it's not fair that normal South Africans who can't afford DSTV shouldn't watch the kind of sport that we do. So content cutting really, really disturbs me. The Deputy Minister was concerned that the SABC financial stability is dependent on government funding. Minister, you are not alone in your concern. I think that there is no way we can carry on with the SABC being completely dependent on government funding. The idea is to get the, you know, these loans paid off and to be operating, you know, at optimal level. And that worries me substantially. Minister, I see you shaking your head. Maybe I misunderstood what you were saying. Well, then you can answer me with the greatest of pleasure. I'm very happy to see the improvements that have been made. And I think they're applaudable considering the situation in which the SABC originally found themselves. So to that, I applaud you and I applaud your efforts. But I think definitely somewhere, somehow, it would help if maybe we're given even, because the information that we have now, although it's substantial, we still don't understand what kind of communication you as the SABC is having with Treasury and what kind of information Treasury is discussing with you. So we get your side of the story, then we get Treasury's side of the story, but we have no idea where you have sort of linked and come up with your solutions together. And I think it would just help us as a portfolio committee to understand where you've actually had a meeting of the minds in going forward, because otherwise what happens, like today, we have a very positive report from the SABC, and then Treasury comes and Treasury says, well, hold on, here's a whole lot of crosses next to what you've done, although some of the things you've done right, some of them you haven't. And I think if we knew where you'd found each other, it would also help us going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. No, I've noted all of you, ray by ray. Nondab.
Thank you, Chairperson. You'll excuse my voice is hoarse because I'm struggling with flu. I was quite encouraged by the presentations that were given today, because from where we come from, it really gives a picture that things are improving at the SABC overall, and that is what we would want to hear. It's like music in our ears. But there are specific issues that on which I need clarification. The first one is that one of that relates to the cost-cutting measures affecting the personnel of the SABC. And at the same time, mention was made of the fact that there are posts that remain vacant. To me, the two are flowing in different directions. But the question that I would like to pose is, to what degree will the SABC be expected to cut or to reduce the number of personnel? And if that is done, where will this leave the efficiency of the SABC? Will it still be able to operate and provide the services that it is expected to provide the public if that is done? And also, if the vacant posts are filled, is that not also going to increase the costs that we are trying to cut down? So that, to me, I think I need some clarity as far as that is concerned. The second area of concern, the chairperson of the board said that even though the actual loss is something about roughly about 119 million, but the actual cash on hand was 500 million rand. On the face value, if you listen to it, it gives a positive picture. But what are the other expenses that the SABC is still supposed to meet out of the cash on hand? Or is it cash on hand after all the financial obligations have been met? And then lastly, I think the Deputy Minister has covered me on the issue of the funding model of the SABC, because when we were told that the bulk of the SABC's revenues are derived from advertising, and we have a presentation from National Treasury which is not giving us a picture of the obligation of the state in actually providing adequate resources to the SABC, notwithstanding the fact that we need to deal with the current problems, management problems at the SABC. But beyond those current problems, how do we put the SABC on a sound financial footing that will stop with this kind of thing? Because none of us, I mean, the SABC,
even if they do embark on those commercial activities, there needs to be an adequate basis which will guarantee and ensure that what we expect of them, because as they sit there, they are bombarded on a daily basis with requests, with expectations from the public, which they know very well that they cannot fulfill because there is this terrible shortfall that they can't actually manage and deal with. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, Chair, I think you know me now. I'm a straight and forward talking person. A spade is a spade, it's not a fork. So that's what I'm going to do. Firstly, Chair, SABC must help us to help them. If they don't help us to help them, we won't be able to help them. The first thing that they must do, Chairperson, is to accept that there are problems. They are not yet there. The report that was presented by the SABC paints a picture that all is well in, at SABC. The report that we received from Treasury in regard to the government guarantee speaks another thing. So that's why I'm saying that for as long as the SABC doesn't accept that they are still in ICU, they won't get out of it. They must just accept so that they can be assisted. Second teacher, maybe if in brief the SABC can share with us their interpretation of the findings of the National Treasury in regarding to the to them meeting the government guarantee. And there's this serious something also report. That's the thing. And the MTT recommendations. That one. Because if you listen to what the Treasury said, you read the SABC report in regard to the MTT, and that's whatever. It tells you that what the Treasury is saying, there's a little bit of truth in the report presented by Treasury today, that really SABC, the only thing that they have met in terms of the government guarantee is the establishment of the MTT, to me. And on that chair, we must also ask ourselves that where is the DOC in this regard? Because I think DOC, as the main shareholder, they were supposed to babysit SABC, because we knew that SABC was troubled. SABC was our stepchild in trouble. So they knew that they had the main responsibility to make sure that SABC meets this target. But if the SABC were not able to produce the fruits that we thought at this time they'll be bearing, then that means DOC, there's something wrong even at DOC. They didn't also do their job. And National Treasury also, Chairperson, they cannot wait for this meeting with the Portfolio Committee and present this kind of a report that they have presented. What have they done to assist the SABC to make sure that all is well in the SABC? The Deputy Minister has spoken well to say, this is our broadcaster for the best interest of the community. We are saying all the things that we are saying, not because we have interest on it as individuals, but as South Africans, we are concerned. We are concerned. We cannot have the SABC even today in the ICU. It cannot be Chairperson Re Ngubane. Around the issue of the Auditor General, I'm not sure because Ms. Riley, when she was presenting, she referred to something like there was no clear foundation or what. I'm not sure if that foundation is also referring to the issues as raised by the Auditor General. Because my view is that in that regard, there was a foundation. The interim board has laid a foundation. They came before the committee, they presented their report. It was clear and straight and forward. Yours was to take the baton in the Ngubane with your new board and strike. Today you should be sitting here telling us who has been suspended, how much has been paid back to SABC. You know, but now there's still a problem, and I don't know why, because we have a foundation
that interim board report can be used as a good tool to deal with the Auditor General report. In one of your presentations, you said, I think it's by 2012-2014, you may experience a little bit problem in regard to your cash flow. So my question would be, if the government doesn't agree to assist or to bail you out this time, because it won't be for the first time, it will be bailed. But if the government is saying this time we are not bailing you out, what plan B do we have for the sustainability of the SABC? Last week, Chairperson, is in regard to the digital migration. Listening to all these concerns, financial problems at the SABC, I'm asking myself, are we really going to meet this target of digital migration? Do we have enough funds to do that? Are we on track? Are we ready as a country? If you can just share that with us, so that from now on, from today, we know where are we in regard to that. The other one, Chair, is the last one, this one. I'm sure of it. No, it's the last one, this one. There was a disturbing something like when the treasurer was reporting that some of the information required by the MTT or the National Treasury from the SABC was not presented. I just need clarity. That is it, does that mean that the report was not presented? Or, I don't know, there was something like that. And another thing on top of that, it was that your reports are not well consolidated. It's a piecemeal there, piecemeal there. How are we then as a committee to be able to do oversight on this issue if your report is a piecemeal, unless it's a deliberate move? Because sometimes reporting in a piecemeal is a deliberate move for disaster. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sebe. Madam Killen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy that the Deputy Minister is still here. I believe that the comments that he made is somewhat future music, and I actually am very concerned that he raised those issues in a debate when we're talking about the financial sustainability of the SABC as it is at present and their performance against government guarantee and the targets that were set in terms of that. I do believe that it's important for the executive to actually be acutely aware of the difficulty that the monitoring task team experienced in getting credible figures and also realistic figures in this process. And I think for the executive, it is important to note that henceforth they will have to really treat the SABC as an organization, as an entity that is in ICU, and that must really receive full focus and support from the minister and the deputy minister. The debate about public funding is, as I said, a future debate, and that will have to be part of a complete revision of the Broadcasting Act. Because we cannot change the mandate of the organization when it is finding itself in financial difficulty. The mandate and the funding model can be evaluated in a separate process, but that will have to also take care of measures to ensure that we are not making the SABC the mouthpiece of a ruling party, anyone, be it the ANC at present, or any of the other political parties that will take over the country. We know where we come from. We do not want to have Groot Crocodile on our case again, another Groot Crocodile. So that is just as far as that is concerned.
Where's the small crocodile?
Then I want to come to the presentations made here this morning. I actually concur with Honorable Michaels that I was firstly studying the Treasury document, and I was then very depressed And then when the presentations were made this morning, first by the DOC and by the SABC, I thought maybe I misinterpreted the Treasury's documentation. But unfortunately, I have come to realize that henceforth, we will really ask the SABC to trust the committee and to have full disclosure to this committee. Unfortunately, over the past 2 years, I do not think that was the case. If I go back on presentations made before this committee and projections made of income and revenue and, you know, measures, etc., it was always very good and very well presented. But unfortunately, at the end of every financial year, there was some other problem. Now, if we look at the figures before us today, it tells us that whatever happened at the board level or at the executive management level or wherever in the organization, it was really a rudderless organization and corporation. And it is encouraging to see that we now have a full complement of the board and that there's focus on getting the basics right. Because no organization, and that is what I want to make comment about, Honorable Papela, if you throw more money at an ailing organization, you're not going to rescue it. You must first get the basics right. Now, if we talk credibility, I want to know, how can we restore credibility financially as well as perceptionally of the organization? And I want the Honorable Jeppes, and I said I'm going to ask a question that is, that one of them will have to answer. How can we restore credibility and ensure that we have a public mandate that complies with the Constitution in terms of the principles of a public broadcaster? If we have the Free State Premier, his PR, who is an anchor presenter on the CDFM, and if the board doesn't know who we're talking about, it is Mr. Motau. It is important for us as a public broadcaster to present a complete independent picture of South Africa. You cannot have those presenters on radio conducting very good PR for the Premier of the Free State when his formal program comes to an end. That's the first thing. The second thing is the credibility issue on the finances. Now, I've touched on that. I want to know today, what are we talking about in terms of MTEF funding? Are we now talking about operational expenditure for DTT rollout? Are we talking about packages? And can you specify and quantify specifically that? Or are we sitting today again with a grand scheme of what the SABC would love to have? Is it aspirational money? Has the figures been calculated carefully? Are you in a position today to actually present to the committee, when will we see the real figures? Chairperson, honestly, as a member of this committee, I would like to concur with Honorable Tsebe. I feel personally, I feel we have been probably misled in the past. When we passed the turnaround strategy and we endorsed that, we really thought the figures would come out correctly. Now we realize that it was unrealistic, it was unachievable. Now we're sitting in the same situation again. If we now come here and we are requested, will those figures that will be requested from the National Treasury be vigorously interrogated by the technical team of the Department of Finance before we endorse anything going forward? We cannot support a blanket government bailout if an organization has not touched, and the SABC has not done that. Honorable Tevi has referred to that. AG report. The AG report speaks speaks of lack of accountability, lack of fiscal discipline and adherence to Treasury regulations, failure to conduct needs analysis from channels, acquisition of content from unauthorized suppliers, failure to declare business interests, people in senior positions, exceeding various levels of authority, splitting of contracts to bring within appropriate level of authority, overpayments to suppliers, including double payments, and I can go ahead and quote from that. What measures has the SABC so far implemented? A slip of the tongue can say quite a lot. Now, Chairperson, I want to say what we need is real evidence of action steps taken to curtail the serious financial mismanagement and deficiencies that was highlighted in the AG's report. Why has that not been forthcoming, and when will we have that? In conclusion, Chairperson, I just want to say, if the SABC wants to win a lotto and get government funding, they should first just buy the ticket and get the systems in place before government bailouts in future can ever be considered. And if we change the funding model of the SABC, they will just have to realize there will be more vigorous interrogation of the figures and abuse of public funding to this organization. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kilian van der Berg.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentations. Deputy Minister, you're going to miss something if you leave now, but it's all right. You said you're going to. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm sorry that you come immediately when the Deputy Minister is about to. Yeah, I know that you always want him to hear what he has said.
Yeah,
I'm very much sorry anyway.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Chairperson, you know, it was very interesting to listen to the Department of Communication about. We know all the problems at the SABC. The SABC's contribution, Treasury, but we were talking about business plans and. It's all about money and structures and policies and so on. But my concern is, while we're planning all this turnaround plans and, where are we now, where are we going, there are unhappy people at the SABC at this moment. We are working with people's lives. We heard last week from the labor organizations and also from the personnel of the SABC, there's great unhappiness. And what are the SABC is going to do to turn around that, that goal of the SABC, the personnel? If you have a TV camera or a radio studio or whatever, and you don't have people to operate that instruments, it's nothing. The SABC is the personnel, and you all know that. And if you get rid of a couple of people because you're talking about headcounts, just to reduce the amount of people working at the SABC, right? And you all know, you don't walk along the streets of every town in South Africa and get talented people to be real creative people at the SABC. You all know that. You just can't pluck someone from everywhere and put them behind a microphone and say, present a program, or broadcast, soccer or rugby commentary or whatever. And in this whole turnaround strategy, I would also love to know what the SABC is going to do immediately, as in immediately, to talk to the personnel, to calm them down, because they are shaken. And that it's not the past 2 days or 3 days. This is coming over years now. They are insecure. They are not
They don't know where they're going. They don't know if the SABC is going to exist. As we heard last week, as I believe the HR department, that is very important in managing all the people at the organization, is, as I believe, non-existent. And all those type of things we hear. But what do you do to calm the personnel of the SABC and make them happy again? Make them look forward to come to work every day. We are not talking about furniture moving from point A to point B. We are talking about people. People with children, with wives, with families. That's it all about. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Morotua.
Chairperson, thank you. I really don't think I'll add more value to what has been said here. I think I concur with the previous speakers, especially on the issue of the monitoring team. I thought there was a reason here to meet the condition of the government guarantee when this monitoring team was formed. One of the reasons was to have communication between the departments. Now here it is, we are seated here, we get three different reports. And I think that's why I say I concur with the previous speaker. It was very good until Treasury came in. And I thought, Chairperson, the report that was given to us by the monitoring team, it should have also included the treasury. Some of the areas that we as the committee are concerned about is how the executive really communicates with us as parliamentarians. One of the speakers, I think it's the whip, that responded to the DM. I'm sorry that he has left. Yes, we know it is mandatory for government to fund the public broadcast. But I think the other thing also that is very important is accountability. And I thought really, here, if we have a monitoring team that has been put in place, they are going to deal with such issues. Nevertheless, Chairperson, I'll reserve this for some other time when I'm in the mood to wallop some of the entities. I just have a concern here about I was really about this page 20 on the presentation of the SABC on the reduction of operational expenditures. You know, the previous speaker just mentioned that the organized labor and the workers are so concerned. One of the things that they are concerned about is the way that we are dealing with this. We are interested in reducing the costs, but what we get from them is that as people are being retrenched, at the same time, some of the people do come back as consultants, maybe the SABC can explain to us some of the things. And I thought I was going to raise questions around the fundamental issues. Now I can see that there is no cohesion between the Treasury and the SABC, and people have said a lot already. I wanted to understand from what the OC was saying, the monitoring team. I never heard them, this is my question, about the slide 12, the turnaround plan, where it says there are thematic areas that we're supposed to be focused on. I wanted the presenter who presented here, Sam, to focus on this and just outline those thematic areas, whether in their meeting they found that, you know, this has been adhered to. Because these are some of the things that we don't get here. Thank you, Chairperson. Today I am really a lady. I don't want to fire like anything.
It's not nice when you look so depressed like you are. Nevertheless, Honorable Ndabeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to try to be a lady also.
Very difficult.
Chairperson, firstly, I
want to... Come with age.
Yeah, it comes. I can't help it. This radicalism and vibrancy must always be there. All right, Chairperson. Honorable members, I first want to thank the SABC board for finally availing themselves in front of this portfolio committee. I was appointed to this committee, I think it is when it was in March or April. I thought Saudi and Justice are the board members. Because those were the people that I used to see. Then when I'm lucky, I will see the chairperson is looking at me, wants to intimidate again, the chairperson of the board. I didn't know others. I knew that, yes, we have, yeah, endorsed names. I even, yeah, motivated for the appointment of others. But if, where are they? I didn't know. At some point, the person I was concerned, do they really take us serious? Do they understand that we don't appoint Cloud and Justice? We appoint themselves. Therefore, it's them who are accountable to us. But finally, I can see today you have tried. Thanks for that. I know we are not that important, but it's not about that. It's about you respecting the processes of Parliament and the lines of communication. Chairperson, before I get into anything, Honorable Killian mentioned that whilst she agrees with the Deputy Minister with regards to the funding model, the SABC, but there are processes to be followed, amendments of the Act and redefining whatever, but she then says that they are very clear. They don't want an SABC, that is the mouthpiece of the ruling party. I'm not sure. What does that mean? To say the SABC can be or is, if there is something like that, a mouthpiece of the ruling party. Reality, my fellow colleague, is that when President Zuma speaks there, doesn't cease to be the president of the country. He's the president of the ANC, but when he speaks, he must be covered as the president of the country. If government is delivering services to our public, that's the ANC-led government. So if the minister that is there speaks, we can't help it that he's the member of the National Working Committee of the ANC. Therefore, because we all understand that SABC is a public broadcaster government programs for now are the interesting part in our communities. If you are not going to communicate how many houses we have built, even if it's government, it's ANC-led. That's why, Chairperson, at some point I was telling GCIS, it doesn't make sense to me. Why must, every time you go to elections, the ANC must tell people, we have built 500,000 houses, but we have GCIS that is supposed to communicate government programs. Those houses are built by government, but it is led by us as the ANC. So whilst you are not yet there at the driver's seat, please bear with us. That's how it normally feels. But honestly, SABC is representing the ANC. Reality is that the ANC is in majority. There's nothing we can do about that. Chairperson, coming to the question. Joining or echoing the words that has been expressed or concerns by my fellow colleagues with regards to the different reports that we received this morning. I don't want to dwell much, Chairperson. I've written about 3 pages on the questions that I would ask, but trust me, that is not going to take us anywhere by the look of things. I therefore, Chairperson, propose that we let the monitoring task team go back, all of its components, the DOC, SABC, and Treasury. They must go back and try to find consensus. Not to do away with the gaps that have been identified, but the things that need to be rectified, they must be rectified. We want to see a report wherein the monitoring task team speaks on one voice. We understand bilaterals are normally held, but if those bilaterals do not seek to assist SABC, please, stay away from them. When you meet, you must meet as the 3 components and be honest to us. One other thing, Chairperson, is the composition of the monitoring task team. When I went through the government guarantee document, it specifically tells who's responsible. It has the chairperson of the board, the minister, the CEO of SABC, and all that. I understand people do delegate money, but the concern is, upon that delegation, how serious is the task being taken? The deputy minister has raised a concern over the comments by a treasurer. Deputy minister is supposed to be part of that monitoring task team. So if he is concerned, I'm not sure how about us. It means we are going to be more concerned. But Chairperson and my fellow honorable members, all I'm asking is that let us not dwell much on the serious concerns that we are now receiving from the report. Let us allow the 3 stakeholders to go back, work on these things that needs to be worked at, because all we want to see is SABC delivering on those targets. The monies that you're talking about and everything, they're not an issue. Amendment of acts, we are here, we'll amend them if we want to. But we cannot first move for that if your house is not in order. I think what is important, honorable members, is that we must agree to give these 3 stakeholders a time frame. When do we want them to come back with a very positive report? I said they must speak on one voice. Don't want a report from DOC that tells that things are fine, SABC, we're doing very well, even if there's 190 million, but we have 500 million. I don't want that language. All we want is SABC has managed to deliver on what they have promised and committed to on those targets. The challenges that are there must be raised with us. We are a portfolio committee. We are here to make interventions if needs be. We are going to, as a portfolio committee, engage with the ministers concerned on the political side. We are going to take that task to ourselves. It is our responsibility to make sure that these things are done. If the ministers raise concern, but they must come to us and clarify us, what is happening? Where are things going wrong? What do we need to do? If it means that probably we're lacking capacity within, then we must raise those things and address them. If there's a need for an intervention in terms of putting in extra human capital in SABC, so that we have the foundation that the madam was talking about there. The foundation is there, she said so in her presentation, but systems are not yet there, you know, and part of the foundation is systems, even if you can have your people. Until such time that those things are addressed, we are not going to move, Chairperson. I just hope the honorable members agree, and then they would further propose the time frame that we want a positive report back from these three stakeholders. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ndabeni. That's a way forward, a proposal. There are issues of clarity raised by the members, which you can just quickly deal with those particular issues so that we've got sufficient time to deal with the way forward as proposed and so on. You will each raise your hands. There are issues raised by the members. Unless members are comfortable that those issues will be addressed when you come back. That could be another way of handling the issue so that you don't dwell much on questions and so on. You go back, you work everything out. When you come back, then some of the issues will be followed through at that particular point. So that we focus we focus on the way forward as proposed by Honorable David. Members, we are agreeable with the way forward. The issue is that we don't want to go into details and identify the differences. We want a MTT which is working together and come and present one report before the committee, taking into consideration all the issues that have been raised and so on. Honorable Ndabeni was saying part of what we need to do ourselves is to start to engage the relevant ministry. And also she raised the issue of elevating the weight of this work of this MTT so that the chairperson of the board of SABC understands that this thing stops at his door. Anyone else can do whatever, but from this committee, when talk about SABC in terms of how the government guarantee was crafted, it gives responsibility to the chairperson and the group CEO of SABC, a certain responsibility. Then delegation can happen and so on, but they should be able to take full responsibility about around the performance around these particular matters and so on. I hope if we agree, the only additional issues which we need to deal with is that you see you have you presented to us turnaround strategy, strategic plan, right? And then you've got the government guarantee conditions. When you come back to us, we want to see a situation where all these things are integrated. You see, currently, if you take the turnaround, you take the strategic plan presented, and then the government guarantee, you might not find the flow, and so on. So if in addition, when you come back, can we have an integrated document which put everything together and so on, so that it's easy for us to deal with the flow of the things and so on. Currently, it's a little bit challenged, as the members have raised that particular matter. But the very sensitive issue which we must raise is that is this issue of pending retrenchment. It's a very sensitive matter because there is no certain your employees, they seem not to be having a security or stability because they don't know exactly what hits them and so on. Now, it will be fair that when you come back, you must indicate to us what exactly are the numbers, what informed those numbers, what are the measures in place to retrain some of your employees to take the opportunities moving forward. Because you see the problem that when you retrench people, but you are going to the new platform, which is going to require employees, but you offload people and so on. So we'll have an integrated plan. How are you going to train them to be able to deal with the new challenges that are coming, your DTT platforms and other things? So that it is not the issue of just cutting people because we are chasing the issue of money. It should be being informed in terms of your strategy and how we are going to deliver and so on. I think that's one issue which is very critical. Because you remember that most of the time the committee, the question are asked to us to say, have you approved the retrenchment? And it's a very difficult situation to deal with if you've got these three documents not talking to each other. Your turnaround strategic plan and your government guarantees. So we'll need that so that we understand what exactly is happening and so on. I think that will help us to move forward in around this particular matter. We hope at that time the request from SABC via DOC in terms of the additional funding which they need from the fiscal will be clarified and be told in terms of the progress where you are, so that we don't have that has been still a request. We must know where is the process, how are you dealing with those particular matters and so on, so that at least we are clear in terms of how do we move forward and so on. I think those are the additions from my side. So that part of the recommendation of saying you must come back and give us and so on. But we must say it seems to be an improved version of what we know of the SABC and so on. Take into consideration what the National Treasurer is raising, which we think that there are also critical issues which you need to deal with so that we are one in terms of how to move forward. If there are no additional members, we've got a debate at 2 for the post office bill by the committee. Madam Mrutua Ndabeni. No, Ndaba, your hands up.
Chairperson, thank you.
Ndabe.
For the summary, but I just thought you asked for additions, if there are any. One of the additions that I would recommend is that CDOC must lead, seem to be leading. And I think we are very, very serious about that. And the other thing is that SABC, you must add one other aspect that they must stop employing abantu abaretrenched again from now. When they come back, they must have stopped that. Now, the last one is the recommendation of the time frame. I would like to recommend that we give them a month. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm partly covered, Chair. But under Vanga, I think it was the second part, I'm sure if SABC must stop hiring back the people that they were retrenched.
What is happening, people in the SABC during the oversight, they are saying as much as they are allowing other people to go, but some of them are being rehired as consultants at a higher fee than when they were employed. So it does not seem to make sense. Those are the allegations raised by your employees when we're engaging on the oversight. So that's an issue that you seem to allow people to go but come back as consultants with a bigger cost than the original.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is related to that. Was to ask SABC also whether he or she has been there or not. But when you are in the process of turning around the organization, honestly, you can't be hiring other people whereas the process is not finalized. I'm sure all of you know that. The only critical positions that we can allow
SABC to attend to are those three, the CEO, the CFO, and the COO. The rest must be freezed. We are asking you, please, comrades. We don't want to fight with the employees. As it has been highlighted, people are concerned. They don't know what direction to take. They will be threatened every day if one is fired and then a new person is brought in. And we are firing because we are claiming not to have money, but to hire people at larger scales. Please assist us on that. Secondly, when it comes to this structure, make it a point that you engage with the employees. You might feel that when we engage with these employees, they are lying to us, they are accusing you or whatever, but the fact that they don't represent what you say, it means there's information gap. And if you don't communicate with them, you will express that every day. And unfortunately, as public rest, you are forced to listen to them. It's our responsibility, whether you like it or you don't. Lastly, on the issue of just an addition to the issue of consultants, especially with the litigation, if you look at your costs, it's too high. It's too high. It's a concern. You know why when we call for nominations, we call for certain skills for the board members? It's because we want them to guide the management on those things and advise. That's why we have legal experts amongst yourselves. That's why you have accountants. We have all those people that possess those skills that you have. But it's going to be a concern if we have that pool of skills, but it's not adding value when it comes to administration. Please, we must have a reason why you appointed yourselves with your skills. You're not like us. You're very lucky. Because you know, you are learned, you are everything. Can we just take him there? So we can say whatever we say, whether it's irrelevant or what. At times we advise you in whatever way, but the only thing that we know, this is the mandate. This is how we want to go about. But with yourselves, you have expertise. Please utilize that effectively for the benefit of this country and SABC. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to say that I support the input of the members with regards to what we expect. Chair, also just to make sure that we have real figures, very practical figures on the table that would conform with Treasury regulations as well as loan sort of requirements and what is to be done based on the NTF and all of that, but also that we have transparency as far as risks that the SABC is subjected to, because in some cases risks can also turn into additional expenditure for the organization. So clearly it must be a very practical, well-considered operational and capital budget. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, members. I'm sure we agree. The only thing is the time frame. Are you okay with a month? A month is okay. I want to be realistic because you know the amount of work which you must do and then come back and report around those particular issues. DG?
Honorable Chair, if we can humbly request that we say end of September instead of a month.
End of September, is that okay?
Chairperson, yes. In a way, I think the DG and I are of the like mind, but if we could then move it into October instead of end of September. Please, Chairperson, 15 October to be precise.
Hello?
The parliamentary schedule is full in September, so maybe we can do it in October.
You see, when members they decide, we can have the meeting even starting at 7 in the evening until we finish. So don't worry about the parliament schedule. End of September, end of October.
because we
mid-October is okay. I like consensus so that you see when you come here, we ask you. You don't say that we have imposed a shorter time frame which is not realistic and so on. Thanks very much. I think you'll take the advice and use the technical team. Let's say mid October. Yeah. We'll define the meet in terms of the practical because we're meeting Tuesday also. Thanks very much, Director General, and your team, the chairperson of SABC, and your board members and your executive, National Treasurer, and everyone else who are here. Thanks very much. We'll meet somewhere in October. You see, the problem is that that's why people who are not members, they sit outside, you see, because they disrupt meetings before they finish. You see, members are sitting down except one. But the rest are busy disrupting the meeting and so on. But nevertheless, we stand adjourned. Thank you.